Our study tonight is out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to chapter 2, verse 3, living Bible-based lives. Before the Apostle Peter began to minister for the Lord in the church, his outlook was impacted by Christ's prophecy in John 21, 18, and 19 that he would be crucified for Christ. Eternity was thus often on Peter's mind. We view Peter's epistles that highlight preparing for eternity. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22, not 122, 22 to chapter 2, verse 3, Peter taught us to live Bible-based lives. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to read the passage itself first, and then we'll get into it. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 to 3. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unhypocritical love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When Peter wrote his second epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 19, he testified how his witness of the Mount of Transfiguration, coming kingdom glorification of Jesus, profoundly elevated his respect for the Old Testament prophecies that predicted Christ's future kingdom. Remember, Peter in that passage said that when he saw the Lord Jesus in his glory, and Moses and Elijah were there, he heard the voice of God the Father from heaven. He said the prophecies that we had of the Old Testament were made more sure, in other words, more profound. So Peter's great respect for Scripture is reflected in 1 Peter 1, 22 to 2:3, where he taught that believers should live highly motivated lives that are based on God's Word. Since Peter's readers had obeyed the Word of God in believing the gospel, and then heeding the truth on their need to love their fellow brethren in Christ without hypocrisy, anupokriton, Peter called on his readers to love the brethren deeply. The Greek word is ektenos. Ektenos is a strange word. It means at full stretch or in an all-out manner with intense strain. Very interesting. This kind of love was possible because the reality of the spiritual new birth that equipped the believer to express it occurred through belief in the Word of God that is imperishable, living, and enduring. Such qualities of God's Word are evidenced in the created universe, for it came into existence and endures to this day by the Word of God. It's interesting, God called everything into existence by His Word in Genesis chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that the universe's existence is sustained by that Word. In other words, all He did was speak the Word then, and until God undoes it, it stays. So everything we see around us, including ourselves, our own existence, is something that's come into existence because of the Word of God. Obviously, God was emphasizing the importance of His Word so that we'd pick up on the hint. Peter then cited Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8 from the Septuagint. That's the Greek version of the Old Testament in his day. It noted that all the people are transitory like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And, of course, Kathy Brunetti has the banners up on the wall. I think those are the banners that are up there now, I think. Anyway, that has that reference to it. Well, at 1 Peter 1:25b, Peter added that this imperishable, enduring, living word of God was what had been preached to his believing readers, and that had led to their believing it in God's work of salvation and equipping of them to live godly lives. So Peter then directed his readers to put away five sins of attitude and speech that would drive wedges between believers that would counter a biblical fervent love among them. It's fascinating. These are the opposite of the biblical love that he's talking about. They were to put away malice. The Greek word is kakian, which means wicked ill will towards other believers. That deals with the attitude, an attitude of ill will. Now, the attitude will show up in actions, but the attitude God wants cleaned up. They were to put away deceit. The Greek word is dolon, which means deliberate dishonesty. It's not just fudging. It's intentionally lying towards other believers. They were to put away hypocrisy, hypokrisis. That's pretended piety and pretended love towards other people. And they were to put away envy, thonous, resentful jealousy towards others. And then they were to put away slander, katalias. Katalias means to speak against. Means defamation or evil speech towards other people. So, having put away wicked ill will, deliberate dishonesty, pretended piety and love, resentful jealousy, evil speech toward other believers, Peter's readers, as eager babies are for milk, were to desire the word of God that by it they might grow in the Lord. This is the type of appetite that we often see with new converts. I found it's always exciting and encouraging and invigorating to be around a new convert because they ask questions and they want to know everything now, you know. And it's just a thrill to be able to disciple that. But that's what Peter says. That's the type of aptitude and motivation we should have for the Word of God. The word describing the word rendered sincere, it's a sincere milk, is adolon. It's the opposite of the word dolon. That is used to describe deliberate dishonesty. So God's word can be described as being deliberately or emphatically honest. That's an interesting word. God's word is deliberately honest. It's coming right out and stating it very, very clearly. God's not pulling any punches. He's coming right at him. So that's the way we should be. So God's word can be described here as being deliberately, emphatically honest. And then Peter's readers were to grow in their salvation. The ultimate fulfillment of their salvation at the rapture. And then Peter's readers had figuratively tasted God's grace in their new birth at justification and found that the Lord is indeed good. They were thus to be motivated to keep partaking of God's word. These people had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were excited about it. It meant a lot to them. They'd paid an enormous price. They'd probably lost property. They were kicked out of their territory. But nevertheless, they had tasted and seen that the Lord was good in salvation. So Peter said, go further. Taste the word of the Lord. So since God's word, by which the believer is born again by God, through believing it, is imperishable, living, and enduring, the believer should heed Scripture's directive of truly, sincerely loving the brethren and putting away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander to continue to grow by taking in God's Word. So may we live Bible-based lives, knowing Scripture as God's imperishable, living, and enduring Word. As I was finessing this lesson, I actually typed up the first draft of this lesson yesterday, but I was finessing it. I was here in the office. I was thinking about my wife, and when she woke up this morning, she had something that was bothering her, some physical situation. At first, she was thinking about calling the doctor about it. So she said, when you go to work today, could you get things set up for prayer meeting in a hurry in case, you know, I have to go, and then you have to bring the car, and I have to go see the doctor and everything. So I said, okay. So I was working on this thing, and I was hoping that I would be able to do a decent job getting this done. Well, as I was here, then I got a call from her at home, and she said, you know, I've been thinking, and she's been taking too many of a certain type of supplement of some sort. She says, I think that's what's created a bit of the problem. It would explain it. So I'm backing off on that. And sure enough, that's what was working. So she said, why don't we just put a hold on this? I'm not going to call the doctor. I want to wait a little bit and see what happens. And she was able to put some more food in and everything was balancing out more. So she's a little weak now, but she should be good to go for tomorrow. once you call up, and it took the pressure off, and I could go ahead and spend the time here that I wanted. And I was thinking, this has happened so many times where it looks like because of either issues in the family or something going on in the church, my time at the study was going to be cut short. Then all of a sudden, boom, the Lord came through, allowed something to go on so that I could take the time that I needed. And it just revealed to me the importance of this particular passage. I know I'm preaching to the choir in this because we all know the Word of God is important. But this particular lesson in particular, the Lord really wants. And He wanted me to take the time to do the work, do a decent job of this so that I wouldn't, you know, be rushed. But this is important. He has put an enormous priority on the value of His Word. He's going to judge us someday in accordance with what we've done with His Word. And so I was moved by that, and I saw the application of it, so I took my time and worked on this, and appreciated once again the Lord's leading. That's why I put on the board tonight God's daily faithful guidance. He's doing it all the time. But everything I see in Scripture and everything I've seen and experienced by way of my own walk with the Lord is constantly emphasizing tremendous importance of staying with Scripture, because there's a lot that's going on in today's world that's just, even in Christian circles, it's just kind of going off and using, you know, good intent and everything, but just using human imagination and human reasoning rather than actually paying attention to Scripture. And people are kind of getting into in trouble with that. Wesley University, for example, someone, they've put a request into, it's a Wesleyan university, it's supposed to be a Christian university. They want to put a plaque up outside the dining hall that's to commemorate all the lost lives of animals that have been eaten inside the dining hall. And I was just stunned, so I thought, I got to address this coming up Sunday. You know, they believe that eating turkeys, you know, for Thanksgiving would be bad, kind of a thing. And of course, we've got the Scriptures to answer this. But I'm thinking, you know, Wesleyan University, John Wesley and Charles Wesley would be appalled at that, because these men, you know, they knew what Scripture said about eating things, eating meat, and all things are lawful for us. But that's what's going on. And that's supposed to be a Christian university. Of course, they've gone a long way from the Bible. But that type of thing is just happening more and more. So we need to really be people of the book.